This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For nearly 20 years, Vermonters have known one attorney general, Bill Sorrell. But the longtime Democratic AG decided not to run this year, and his challenger from the 2012 primary, T.J. Donovan, captured the Democratic nomination and then won the election. Donovan has been Chittenden County State's attorney since 2006. As he prepares to move into the position of top law enforcement officer for the state of Vermont, he joins us now. T.J. Donovan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
You ran for this position, as I mentioned, 4 years ago against Bill Sorrell and lost very narrowly in the primary. Can you tell us what lessons you learned from that campaign that helped you this year other than just don't go up against an incumbent in a primary?
Well, actually, that was, I would say that was the opposite of what I learned. It was, I would say we should have primaries and we should have substantive debates in our campaigns. And a lot of the issues that we debated about during that 2012 election later were enacted into law because of that campaign. It was a very substantive issue-based campaign. We did it the Vermont way, and I think it was a good thing, certainly for me, and I think it was a good thing for Attorney General Sorrell as well. He said as much. So I came out learning that, number one, talking about the issues is a good thing. Getting around this state, talking to regular Vermonters about what they expect government to do for them is a healthy thing. And just from a personal standpoint, it was an absolute privilege to campaign in this state. And so I learned a lot. I learned that that Vermont, although we say it's a small state, is a large state. And campaigning takes a lot of time and takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of money, unfortunately. And so you have to be all in. And I think I brought those lessons with me this time, and luckily we prevailed.
You've said that the opiate crisis is the number one issue for your office to tackle. So how do you see your office working to solve that problem?
Yeah, I think, number one, we have to have a coordinated response throughout the state. And addressing the heroin epidemic goes hand in hand with reforming our criminal justice system. And we have to have not 14 different systems of justice based on our counties, but one. And why the Attorney General's office is so important, of course, is because it has concurrent statewide jurisdiction with our state's attorneys. And earlier this year, Governor Shulman's pretrial monitoring system, which was based somewhat on a program we started in Chittenden County, was moved from the Department of Corrections to the Attorney General's office. And that was a very significant move for a couple reasons. You now have the resources, coupled with court diversion, to have the infrastructure across the state in terms of intervention, in terms of linking people from the criminal justice system into the public health system. The challenge now is going to be, of course, we have the infrastructure on the criminal justice side. The challenge is going to be coordinating the resources in terms of the public on the public health side in the counties, and that's going to be something that I'm going to be working on day one.
Yeah, the program that you mentioned in Chittenden County, the Rapid Intervention Community Court Program, is designed to basically keep nonviolent criminals out of a courtroom. So it's court diversion, basically. They have to agree to drug treatment if that's their problem and to counseling. And then if they succeed, they don't have to go to court. They basically don't have to have that on their record. So that's something that you want to work on really boosting in a statewide way.
Yeah, it's a little different than court diversion. When you talk about court diversion, typically you're talking about first-time offenders. And what we have to do, and I've always made the analogy of, if we have a highway and at the end of the highway is a jail, we should have exit ramps all the way based on need, based on risk. So if it is that low-level offender, a kid threw a ball through a window or did something stupid, sure, court diversion works. Rapid intervention is not for first-time offenders. It's for people who have been throughout the system, who have criminal histories, regardless of their criminal histories. We use science. We use evidence-based risk assessments to measure risk, to measure need. And then in lieu of prosecution, so no charge, in lieu of prosecution, it is the link to the social service agency, the counseling, the doctor, the methadone clinic in the community. We get releases signed. It is a voluntary program, and we have attempted to redefine accountability. And we're not the clinical workers, but what we're doing is ensuring compliance, saying, hey, is TJ Dunham doing what he's supposed to be doing at the 30, 60, 90-day mark? Really taking that public health approach of harm reduction, of breaking down the barriers to healthcare, and getting people the help they need. What that's also going to do is free up the resources in our traditional system, our traditional criminal justice system, to really ensure that we have the resources and the bed space in our jails for folks who truly pose a threat to our public safety. And so having a coordinated, unified, uniformed criminal justice system across the state of Vermont is something that is good for public safety, and it's good for our bottom line.
What percentage of that repeat nonviolent crime is driven by drug use and drug abuse?
The vast majority. The vast majority. And you got to include alcohol in that, Jane, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority, I mean, look, I'm sitting in my office today. If I went downstairs to the second floor at 1 o'clock, you are going to see a litany of cases. And I can guarantee you this, that the vast majority, either 75, 80, upwards to 90%, there was not only going to be drugs and alcohol, but here's the other crisis in this state that we have to address: mental illness. The issue of the co-occurring mental health crises coupled with the substance abuse is a perfect storm in this state. And what we have to do is redefine what public safety looks like. And if you're asking the police and prosecutors to deal with it, we're not going to make much progress because our tools are limited. A jail cell and a probation term isn't going to fix somebody who is sick. And so we have to make sure that we're making strategic investments in our community, making sure that we have robust and accessible mental health treatment in our schools, not just for kids, but for their families. And we got to put political correctness to the side and make sure that we're going to the folks who are at risk, understanding that prenatal care is a great service to provide in terms of making sure that mom and baby are healthy. And I'm a big believer in early childhood education. Those early years of 0 to 3, 0 to 5, it creates the path for people's rest of their lives. I don't know if you've done much talking about adverse childhood experiences, but this issue of substance abuse, the issue of mental illness, the issue of poverty, the issue of domestic violence, all these factors for kids who grow up in these homes where these things are present have lifelong impacts: higher rates of mental illness, higher rates of addiction, lower life expectancy. So we got to make sure that when we're talking about public safety, we're talking about healthcare, that we're talking about early education, that we're talking about mental illness, mental health counselors. And here's the thing: it's cheaper than a jail cell. It's cheaper than a jail cell. It costs $79,000 to incarcerate a woman in the state of Vermont. $79,000. And when you look at the outcomes, the recidivism rate, depending on how you calculate it, is close to 50%, meaning 5 out of 10 of folks who are in our jails are back in our jails at a cost of $79,000. I think we can do better. I think we can be smarter. I think it's going to take some leadership, but it's understanding that public safety is about our community.
So, TJ Dunham, we just have a minute left here, but we got a note from Francis in Mount Holly who has a question for you, saying, if the federal government takes up an aggressive effort to remove illegal immigrants and looks to states to provide support, how would you see Vermont responding?
I think Vermont is going to respond how we've always responded, which is to be tolerant, to be accepting, to understand that we are a state and a country of immigrants, and that this is something that I'm very concerned about. It's something that is going to be a priority for me. I'm already thinking and reaching out to folks about how we respond to this issue. This is going to be a defining moment. Not just for our state, but I think our country, and we all have to be prepared.
So you said even on election night, you are worried about President-elect Trump, and you will be working against policies that you don't see as right for Vermont or right for Vermonters.
I am worried about the rhetoric from President-elect Trump during the campaign. Has he moderated a little bit after the campaign? Yes, he has. But, you know, I got to tell you, Jane, on my desk right now are petitions for folks who otherwise would be subject to deportation based on rather minor criminal offenses here in the state of Vermont. So this idea that we're deporting criminals, that is a wide net. And we are going to be catching a lot of folks who I don't think pose a public safety threat. In fact, our folks are doing quite well in our community and are assets in terms of promoting a good and healthy community.
Well, so we'll have to talk to you about that as this progresses. And once you're sworn in, TJ Donovan will be Vermont's next attorney general come January. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jane.